This is On Location. I'm Tim Leitner. Today's episode comes to you from Virginia, Nevada, and California. But first, On Location is produced by the NCA Communications Committee with special production assistance from Joe Mamlin and me. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, Breaker, iHeartRadio, and Radio Public, among others. So subscribe today on your favorite podcast service and tell all your friends. In today's landscape, there's plenty of obstacles and stress that leaders and staff are facing, and it may be more important than ever to explore the benefits of mindfulness and well-being. In today's episode, Mary Ellen Keeley, State of Virginia Child Support in Charlottesville, Virginia, and Veronica Riley, Veronica Riley Training and Consulting in Lodi, California, interview Lee Papa, Lee Papa LLC in Las Vegas, Nevada. Lee is an internationally acclaimed speaker, trainer, coach, an author celebrated for her expertise in mindfulness and well-being. It's going to be a great show, so stick around, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to another edition of the NCA On Location podcast. I'm Veronica Riley, and today Mary Ellen Keeley and I welcome Lee Papa. Lee is an internationally acclaimed speaker, trainer, coach, and author celebrated for her expertise in mindfulness and well-being. In today's landscape, there's plenty of stress and obstacles that leaders and staff are facing, and it may be more important than ever to explore the benefits of mindfulness and well-being. So let's jump into this. Welcome, Lee.
So, Lee, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're from?
Absolutely. First off, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here with you. You know, it's an interesting question in the way that it's worded, right? So I always go back to who I am, right? When people ask, who are you? Or ask anyone. It's really a journey, isn't it? So I'm going to go back just a little bit to in 1994, way back, I moved from Baltimore, Maryland, which is where I was born and raised and where I lived my entire life. And then I moved to Los Angeles with no job and seemingly no identity. And that was kind of the first time I started to really ask myself, who am I? And while I was in that self-discovery mode, a phrase came to me, and it was that I'm a spiritual being having a physical experience. And although that felt like it came from nowhere inside, I knew that it was meaningful, but I guess I didn't realize how profound that statement was going to be on my entire life's journey. So I began embarking on that self-exploration even then. And then 11 years later, I left Los Angeles for Las Vegas in 2003. And that was an even greater chapter of self-exploration. And I ended up having a near-death experience during that time, emotionally, physically unwell. Just had some really deep exploration, ended up writing my book and my first book, I should say. And then, you know, each time that there is a chapter that seems like it could be a hurdle or a contrast, major wonderful things come from it. I just recently came back from a year of living in the Southern Ozarks, as a chapter in the country. And talk about contrast from Las Vegas. But that gives you just some bullet points of my background or who am I? I'm a spiritual seeker.
So, Lee, there's a lot of talk in the last several years, as I'm sure you're well aware, about mindfulness, almost to the extent where we see, I would assume the term is almost misused at this point. I think the other day I was in the grocery store and I saw mindfulness water. Don't know how that can be a thing. But so, can you tell us and our audience out there, what is mindfulness really?
Sure. I am going to go back just a little bit, give you a backstory about that because it'll help the audience understand really the concept of mindfulness. In 2009, I opened a wellness center here in Las Vegas. It started with 2 rooms, expanded into 6,000 square feet with cafe space, event space. It was massive. We used to call it a living center for the mind, body, and spirit. During that 6 years that it was opened, I learned a lot, had a lot of training during that time. Tens of thousands of people came through there, and they were all seeking. That was kind of like the common denominator. They were seeking relief in some way, physical, emotional, mental relief. And we, again, had tens of thousands of people come through. We did over 4,000 classes. On a daily, I think 6 days a week, I was doing private sessions. What I found that was helpful and quick, because I really like the quick, that provided people with some relief, no matter what it is that they were seeking relief for, was mindfulness and meditation. And so, what that means, because that definition, if you ask 10 people what mindfulness means, I'll bet you'll get probably 9 or 10 different answers, right? But at its simplest form, mindfulness equals awareness. Hey, that's easy. That's easy enough, right? Hey, Lee, I'm aware. I know what's going on. I'm aware of my thoughts, right? What goes beyond that, it's awareness of your thoughts and actions. And the world around you, here's the drum roll, in non-judgment. Oh, that's a whole different story now, isn't it? So the judgment piece, right? That's kind of embedded in our DNA, isn't it? So who do we judge the most? I can hear the entire audience saying, raising their hands. We judge ourselves the most, right? And so mindfulness is about self-observation. It is about being aware of your thoughts and your actions and the world around you in non-judgment. Well, that's a practice that we can have our entire lives, right? It's not something that we conquer or achieve or overcome, even though all of us type A's would love to do that. It is something that we enjoy and we get to practice every day. But we have to start with ourselves for us to reflect that out in the world. Because there's enough judgment out there, right, for us to lean into. But when we start with the non-judgment piece of self, we are able to then reflect that non-judgment out in the world. I hope that answered that for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was really helpful, Lee, and it kind of leads me to my next question, which is how did you get into this type of work? What led you here?
Well, it's probably a twofold question, but I'm going to go with what led me into doing mindfulness and the more of the speaking and the training at the meetings and events level. When I had the center, the wellness center, the living center, I knew that this aha about mindfulness and meditation was big, and I knew that that message needed to go out globally. I just didn't know how. And when we rely on just our own selves, I'll call it the 3D self and our noodling mind, we try to figure things out, right? Oh, I have to open up centers all over the world, right? Or I have to, what are ways that I can get this message out? And just a glorious thing happened, as it does when you navigate in this practice. I received a phone call out of the blue, I'll air quote out of the blue, from a representative of the largest meeting planners conference, IMEX America. And this gal, lovely, she said, I'm representing IMEX. We heard that we were referred to you as a wellness expert in the area. And we are looking to include more wellness into our conferences. And it was like a giant bell went off in my head. And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. By the way, that's kind of a side note. When things come to you out of the blue like that, say yes, because it's going to start the trajectory of something great. And so I did this, what did they call it? A fireside chat on the showroom floor. So it wasn't like I was teaching meditation in this, you know, massive space where they have like 14,000 people, but we started a dialogue about stress and about mindfulness training, and it was very successful. And then I started walking around this showroom floor, looking at the individuals, and I went, oh, I recognize you, because I saw myself from years prior. And what I mean by that is I saw all the stress, all the frenzy, and I went, this industry wears stress like a badge of honor. And it was boom, it was another ding, ding, ding. Stress is a badge of honor, or stress is not a badge of honor, became the mantra. And I knew from that immediate moment that things were going to change, and that this global platform was how the message was going to get out to those who help so many, right? So reaching people that reach a lot of people. And so I ended up closing the center, creating my keynote, which is how to live and lead mindfully. And I created also something that is not only a complimentary offering in the meetings and events industry called the Mindfulness Lounge, but it also became one of the fundamental things that I do, because, you know, keynotes are lovely and I enjoy doing them, and you're in and out in an hour or so, right? And the fee isn't too bad. But for me, I wanted the experiential. I wanted to see the light that just shines on someone's face when they get to the point of quieting the mind, the monkey mind, for just a minute or two, or for 20 minutes. And so the Mindfulness Lounge really became what I'm known for. And actually, you know, was in Meetings Today magazine as one of the 22 luminaries in 2017, I think it was. And anyway, that's how I began doing mindfulness in the meetings industry and beyond.
That's wonderful. And I want to circle back to that, the Mindfulness Lounge, and talk about a little bit more about that as we go. But before we get to that, we talked last time we met with you, Marianne, and I met with you, and you had mentioned the concept of stretching ourselves. And I know we're putting ourselves in a context, right, with work and with leaders. And even if you're not a formal leader with a formal title in your organization, you know, but you still can be a leader in your space. We talked about the concept of stretching yourself. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, what that means, and then potentially how that relates to us in our work environment?
Sure. Yeah. So first, I'm not talking about exercise, even though that's wonderful, right? Physical stretching, physical exercise is really great for the mind, body, spirit. But what I'm talking about is stepping out of comfort zone. And when we do not stretch ourselves in this concept of self-observation, we tend to atrophy. And we lock into beliefs, concepts that we have been regurgitating year after year after year after year after year. So there's no growth. And so what happens when you atrophy is then there's deterioration. So when I talk about stretching, I just want people to get comfortable with stretching in little things so that they can then stretch in bigger things. And when I'm teaching groups, I might say, depending on the group, drive a different way to work. Change your hair color, change your nail polish color, do something. And I kind of did that as a joke because when I was doing my nails more regularly, I would do a French manicure and never vary from that. That was my staple. That's what I did. But I started stretching myself in small ways so that I could stretch myself in bigger ways. Just recently, I stretched myself in a big way by stepping outside of really my genre, my professional genre, and I do voice talent work on the side as well. I've done commercials, but I was asked to do a romance novel. And lending my voice to a romance novel that actually is quite lovely, by the way, if you're interested in listening to a romance novel. It's called Santa Baby. And that stretched me not only because I was doing something outside of my genre, but I also needed to learn all the technology around. By the way, it's quite in depth. The technology involved in editing and recording and uploading in a particular way and mastering a file. So even if you're stretching in ways that have nothing to do with your profession, you are still benefiting from the stretching. And as you talk about leadership, how can you expect your staff to stretch themselves if you are not stretching yourself? And that gets me back to the whole idea of atrophy in our beliefs. Especially now in, all the chaos in the world. I mean, who would have ever thought that we would be living in such chaos in the external world? But we have to learn mindfully to not lean in to that chaos, but to be the observer in the non-judgment, in the awareness, and allowing ourselves to emotionally, mentally, spiritually stretch.
Great advice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That is so. Before I ask my next question, I have to share a brief story for context. So, I've been on the NCIA podcast subcommittee for 2 or 3 years or so, and kind of got involved with NCIA based on attending conferences. And one of those conferences, my very first child support conference. Or excuse me, my second child support conference was WCSEC in Spokane in 2019, in what I like to call the before times. And you were actually a speaker at that conference, and it was like nothing I'd ever attended or experienced before. You know, you go to conferences and they talk about self-improvement and they talk about how to do your job better. But the experience of your keynote presentation and your mindfulness now lounge was just incredible. And so what I'm curious about is how, kind of why or how, you can answer it either way, you got connected with the child support program.
First of all,
Glad
thank
you're here.
you. Thank you for that. And I loved that conference. It's really one of the highlights of my career. And so how and why I'm going to answer probably differently than most might think. Pure intention. Because my intention when especially when I stepped into this work on a more global scale, is that I wanted to help people that help people. I wanted to help people that were mired in stress, be able to be their best whole self so that they could continue to help people. And so provider wellness is something that is near and dear to my heart. And it goes beyond provider wellness. I like to, in the events industry, I like to support and help people because the events industry helps millions and millions and millions of people, right? So the more that I can help people own their own wellness in this capacity, it becomes the ripple effect, right? Exponential. So I believe through my intention, the stars aligned and I was able to get involved with WICSIC and beyond. Through this organization, I was able to help people that help so many. And I just loved the group. Spokane was beautiful, by the way. I had never been. And just the authenticity of this group. And yes, when you said, you really weren't sure what to expect. And yes, my keynote is a little different, but it's not. Some people, especially years ago, shied away from the whole concept of mindfulness because they thought it was fringe or woo-woo, right? And it's really very grounded in science and ancient wisdom. And I am very grounded in my approach of mindfulness and meditation, and even the fact that I had a near-death experience, and the fact that spirit comes into all the work that we do, but it's very grounded. But this particular group, I just loved so much, and you all drank up this information and owned it and came to the Mindfulness Lounge over and over again. And I have to say, of all the conferences that I've done, I think that conference I received the most follow-up emails saying that it impacted their lives so profoundly that now they have tools that they can use in the daily, and that lights me up. So I was thrilled. And actually, I got the call from the during that time, I got the call from the publisher asking me if I would write a book on mindfulness, and that's how a year of living, sorry, a year of mindfulness for beginners then got contracted, and that launched in 2020.
That was a profound experience for me as well, Mary Ellen and Lee, attending that conference. And I was lucky enough to be part of the WICSEC organization. Shout out to WICSEC, and
Absolutely.
a part of the planning committee for that conference. And so I was able to, interface with you a little bit more, at some of the pre-work for that conference and then during it. And so I really enjoyed meeting you, and I was very moved at how receptive, just like you said, how receptive people actually were, and not saying, oh, it's very woo-woo, this is fringe. Really is not. And you made a good connection with people about why it matters to live mindfully, to be intentional, to reduce your stress level, et cetera, especially because we are people who are in a helping profession. And so your message really, really resonated. And I know for me, we after that conference, and I think it was at least it was definitely during when the pandemic hit. We had you do work with my organization, the county that I was working for. We brought you in to work with specifically our call center staff. And I think everybody could have benefited, but we specifically targeted our call center staff because child support call center is a hard job on a normal day. Plus, then we magnified it with the pandemic, and they were hearing, terrible stories on the phone all day about people losing their jobs, people sick, people losing loved ones. And so we really wanted to target and find some way to support our call center staff specifically. And shoot, we brought you in, I think it was once a month for. And it continued for, a couple of years. And our staff, at first I was a little concerned, like, are they going to be receptive to it? Are they going to think that it's woo-woo, the same thing? And it was optional. Every single person attended. Not one staff person declined. And as we had rotation in the call center, every new person coming in, every existing staff member gets a copy of your book, A Year of Mindfulness for Beginners. And we customized a little bookmark that went in it with a message from our team and executive leadership saying, we care about you, we support you, so we're giving you, this investment basically into them. And people really responded well, and they just the change in their not in their demeanor. I mean, they were a great group in general, but there's just the change then that I saw. The bonding, the willingness to share, the willingness to put themselves out there, the willingness to take the message and acknowledge it, was just profound to me. So I thank you deeply for all the work that you did with our staff.
Well, and I thank you because it does take courage, Veronica, to know that something can benefit, that may, you know, it's taking that step forward. It's very similar to when IMEC said, you know, wellness needs to be in the meetings industry, and nobody else really was doing things like they were doing. And they stepped in with that courage. It takes courage and dedication, meaning you can't just come in and throw something up against the wall and then expect to have this massive change. But the commitment over time, which is what you did, and because you had the commitment, they also felt safe to share in this environment, and they did. And they did over and over and over again. And then they started to become the leaders, because that's important to me as well, is that now you have the information, and we go over and we practice the core concepts and the tools, and understand the why people meditate, understand why it's important for the self-care, and then start giving them ways to be the leader in their own lives, and then a leader in their environment. And from what I understand, you had some individuals that were part of that training that then got promoted. So got promoted within, and then of course, then they become the leader, and they come with this new understanding of how to navigate leadership with a mindfulness foundation. So that's why we have how to live and lead mindfully, right? We have to start with ourselves, and then we get to go out in the world and be the leader.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for the opportunity to serve in that way. It was, I looked forward to that very much. Actually, I think it was 2 times a month at first, and then we went to once a month, and it was for 2 years. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, thank you. So speaking of that and the usefulness of this and of mindfulness and self-care in the daily work life, can you share with our listeners some tips for wellness and mindfulness practice?
Am I limited by the amount of tips? Because there can be many, but I'll give you three.
Thank you.
So, you know, I like to break things down into mind, body, spirit, right? Because it just seems like they're really great buckets. So first and foremost, being mindfully aware, right? Shall we all say it together? Awareness and non-judgment, right? Awareness of our thoughts and actions and the world around us and non-judgment. Even though there is a mindfulness meditation, which is about awareness of your body parts, the core concept of the philosophy is the definition that I gave you. So the tip would be to be mindful. So start being aware of your thoughts, because your thoughts and the words that you speak hold an energy. And this is scientifically based. There's a really great book called Hidden Messages in Water. That was one of the aha moments way back when. I'm sure you can add a link to that in the description. It's by Dr. Emoto. It's a great little book, has visuals in it. I won't go into the whole detail about what that gives, but powerful visual and context about our words and our thoughts. So first and foremost, be aware of the words that you are speaking to yourself and to others. So slow things down a little bit. Take a beat. When a thought comes in, it is probably so programmed from many, 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 many years that you don't even realize that these thoughts are running like a program in your consciousness, in your subconsciousness, and playing out in the conscious world through your words and how you speak. There's a tool that I teach called Cancel Clear. And that's part of the keynote that I give. And you start to use this tool in the awareness, so that when a thought comes in and it is not optimal — I use optimal and less than optimal instead of good and bad. It's more of a neutral energy. So, a phrase that may not be optimal. Let's say you wake up and the first thing that you say is, "Oh, another day," or "I'm so tired," right? So now the awareness is there. Oh, I've said something that's less than optimal. I don't want to create that in my day. I don't want to create stress or tiredness in my day. So then I'm going to cancel clear and literally say it, cancel clear. And I'm like, oh, I get to have a magical day today. Just the energy of shifting that will shift your day. And then once you start using that as a tool and a habit every day, you're going to be shocked at how many programmed thoughts you have that are less than optimal and that are not what you want to create. And so some people say, oh, but I feel like I'm lying to myself. That's okay. If you want to shift that up a little bit, then you say, I am in the process, because that feels more neutral, right? I am in the process of leading a magical or living a magical day. And you can keep saying, I'm in the process of whatever you want, even if you have like a go-to phrase, which is, I am in the process of living mindfully, which is a really good one. Everybody write that down. I am in the process of living mindfully. You can have that as your go-to phrase so that you're not having to think of a new phrase every time you say something that's less than optimal. But that is so, so, so important. Let's, you know, give that as number one. If we look at body as the second tip, feeding your body, we are flooded with toxins from our minds, from the thoughts that we have. I mean, if you can think of, and this will lead back to number one, with how we think and how we speak, we are either nourishing ourselves or we're poisoning ourselves with our words and our thoughts. So when you think of it that way, you are going to start to get very careful with what you say. So we must nourish our body. How do we nourish our body? Well, just like we're flooding our mind and our spirits with things that are more optimal, we need to flood our physical body with things that are more optimal, nutrients, superfoods, more greens. Now, are we in an environment where we can actually eat our way to health? I'm not sure that we can actually eat enough to get us to that place. So we supplement ourselves. I'm a big fan, and I have this product because it changed my life physically. It's called Leviden, L-I-V-E-D-E-N. Leviden is a superfood. It's a one product company. I'm sure you're going to add the link to that as well. And that's something that I've added to my coaching, to my whole, umbrella of health and wellness. So that's what I suggest, that you do something like that. If it's not this product, you do something that floods your body with nutrients so that it can fight the good fight of all the toxins and that we are consuming, even in our air and in our water. I loved when you went back. I'm going to digress. When you talked about going to the grocery store and seeing mindfulness water, I didn't touch on that, which I think is hysterical, because back in the day when I was stepping into teaching mindfulness in the meetings and events industry, it was not a common terminology. And again, being a leader in the industry of wellness, you stretch and you bring things to the forefront that, you know, some people may say, you know, what is that, right? Well, in a very short period of time, it did what most things do, and that is the marketing kind of diluted the power and the value of what mindfulness truly is in the practice. And everything you can imagine just got labeled mindful or mindfulness. And you saw it on every magazine and you saw it in the grocery store. I remember seeing mindful pistachios back in the day. And I was like, I even took a picture of it and started talking about it in my talks, because I'm like, this is how we are devaluing the practice. Pistachios aren't being mindful. You can have mindful eating where you become aware of your eating, but the pistachio itself or the water itself is not going to be mindful. Although now we're going to loop back into that hidden messages in water, and you might want to start labeling your water mindful. So I'll let you go explore that yourselves. But anyway, so back to the tips. And then let's talk about spirit. And I'm going to loop back again about spiritual. We are physical, spiritual beings having physical experiences. And that when we realize that our inner self is truly the spirit of who we are, that is a huge awakening in the process of leading your optimal life. And the way that we can get there in that awareness is to quiet the monkey mind. quiet yourself down. And you do that through meditation. And the best form of meditation for beginners is guided meditation. And that's why I created journeys, ways for people to allow the brain to go take a journey through the mindful relaxation, then moving into a journey to the waterfall or the river or the crystal cave or on a cloud or wherever, just to give the mind something to do. And before you know it, you are in this peaceful, gentle, calm space. And then you're left on your own with some just gentle music and you come out going, I meditated. And those like myself, when I first started this process, my monkey mind was on overload. I was one, you know, I was making lists in my head. I was wondering what I was going to have for lunch. I was so distracted. There was no way that I was going to be able to do this because I wasn't prepared for it. But the work that I do really helps prepare the foundation so that you can start quieting yourself and understanding the value of meditation and how it will affect you profoundly in your life. My most played meditation is 6 minutes long. It's called the short play of the waterfall chakra wash, 6 minutes. And even if you do just 6 minutes, because it's not about the amount of time that you meditate, especially at first, it's about your consistency. So if you give yourself 6 minutes every single day, you will feel the benefit. So there's your three tools.
Thank you. Those are awesome. I think it's partly me racking up your plays on the 6 minute waterfall journey because that's the one I do and I have memorized. So circling back to that, because I think it is a really good practical tip. And I know, again, the people in our call center loved it, the guided meditations that you walked them through. It is something that stretches you, gets you out of your comfort zone if you're new and a beginner. Certainly for me, I was like, oh my gosh, can I be quiet for more than 10 seconds? I don't know if I can. And I have started doing your guided meditation. And in fact, I think you started doing it in the Mindfulness Lounge at the Wixsite Conference in Spokane. I had wanted to circle back and talk more about that because that was a really powerful experience for a lot of our participants, that people walked away going, oh my gosh, I can do that. That's amazing. The guided meditation. And I have on the app, I know it's available on Spotify and some of the other apps, but I do one of the guided meditations, like you were talking about, the shorter 6 minute one. And I have memorized it. And I will tell you, I had to undergo a not so pleasant medical procedure a few years back. And that got me through it.
Oh,
no
wow.
Joke. I was, you know, laying there and it was very, you know, not a pleasant experience. And I was doing that meditation the whole time to just get myself out of it, feeling, you know, any pain or any anxiety about it. I did that meditation over and over during that procedure. And it was amazing how much it helped get me through. So I thank you personally for that. And I do think, though, that that's a really easy, like you shared, an easy tip that people can use. And the app is a great place. It's the gateway, right, to get you started. So can you talk just a little bit more about where people can find your guided meditations? I know they're on Spotify, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, I'm so grateful that you were able to use the tool of that meditation to have something like that medical procedure move through it with more ease and grace. So I'm grateful as well that you were able to move through that. So you talked about the Mindfulness Lounge and you talked about the app. So the app that I think you're referring to is Insight Timer. And it's a wonderful app. It was one of the most utilized meditation apps, and I think it was one of the first ones. And they reached out to me when they were first starting out, asking if I would upload some meditations. And it's free to use. There is a paid version of it, like most apps. But you can go on and I'll give you the link if I haven't already to that that free 6 minute meditation. Now, you can also access all my meditations. I have three CDs on my website, LeePapa.com, which I'm again, I think I gave you the link. And the journey with guided meditations has a longer version of waterfall chakra wash, which is really wonderful. I like the longer version. Short one, you do that when you don't have a whole lot of time. But they're powerful journeys. And I think why they're also powerful is that they're not just meditations. I've learned over the years, different energy modalities and I've learned a lot scientifically about energy and intention. And so I've infused these meditations, if you will, with healing energy, and with, you know, the basis of intention for whatever that person is going through. And so you may be going through a medical procedure. Somebody else might be going through grief, but it meets you where you are to support you. And that has always been my intention. So, so yeah, that's how you can access the meditations. Again, Spotify and all of those platforms. But if you want to download it directly from the website, you can purchase it there.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, we'll link to it in our show notes.
Great. Thank you. Let me also touch on the mindfulness lounge that you were there, right, at WCSIC, and you experienced the lounge. And what is really cool about that space is that it, again, I go back to intention, and this is why it is an offering that is specifically for this intention, right? So it's not like it's a wellness umbrella and a bunch of people are in that room. It is purely for this work. And I created this format where throughout the event, this mindfulness lounge is open. And from the morning to the afternoon, the sessions are scheduled within breaks or within options in the schedule that the attendees can come in for 20-minute sessions. They're typically 20 to 30-minute sessions. They're no more than that. And the powerful thing is that people start, they come in and they may be apprehensive at first, like, what's this going on? Is it going to be kumbaya? Or are we going to have to hold hands, right? And it's not like that at all. And they immediately are comfortable. And then they go through the process of relaxation and the guided meditation, bring them out, and then boom, they're done. They are grounded already, feel refreshed, and are able to go into their next meeting or their next educational session, which, by the way, science has shown that you retain information at a higher rate when you have short amounts of time of quiet, of meditation. So when we have these conferences that are chock full of educational sessions and there's no possible way that the attendees can consume and retain all that information, this is a really great element to add so that at least they're retaining more than they would have. Also with jet lag, it helps support, sleep and so many expanded benefits that it really is a no-brainer that the mindfulness lounge should be in every meeting and event. And so I love the fact that when we first start, especially those who have just had the mindfulness lounge for the first time and they're a little nervous about the success of it, right? That attendees start coming in, they have the experience, then they go out and they're like telling their friends, networking at events, saying I had this incredible experience in 20 minutes, and then they keep coming back. And so by the second day or even at the end of the first day, you know, it becomes more full and there's a waiting line. And some people, if the doors are closed, then we don't allow people in because in that short period of 20 minutes, you don't want to disturb people by having others walking in. So they learn to arrive on time and leave on time. And they have this experience in 20 minutes over and over and over again during the entire length of the conference.
Yeah, I do hope that we're able to figure out how to bring you back to some of our child support conferences in the future, for sure.
Oh, I would love that.
Plug to all the people on the planning committees that are listening to us today. So, Lee, if you could give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Oh. There's so many. Don't look outside yourself for happiness, for peace, fulfillment. It's all within you. No one's going to fill a void, right? No one else is going to fill the void that's within you. No new car, no new outfit, no new vacation, no new, romantic person. It's all within you. And so build that relationship within yourself, and the rest of it takes care of itself.
I like that. That's great advice. Thank you. So one of my favorite things about hosting this podcast and other ones that I work on is talking to people about the books that they are currently reading, because I love to read and I love to get new ideas to put on my to be read shelf. So just curious about what you were reading. And then I also think you have a new book that you want to chat with us about a little bit.
Well, it's what that's the new book is really what I've been reading, because when you're going through the process of publishing a book, you are reading it so many times. Actually, I know your audience won't be able to see it, but behind me are options of all the covers for the book. And it's actually the second edition of my first book, which is Temple of All Knowing. It's a 10th anniversary edition, and it's launching as we speak. And it's about my journey from looking outside myself and drama, trauma, relationship issues, grief, and some extraordinary spiritual experiences that transpired and changed me inside and out. And it's really about my near-death experience. So that is really what I'm reading predominantly. And then what I'm reading for pleasure, and always I'm looking for stretching, right? I'm reading a book called The Disappearance of the Universe. And that is next level stuff, and understanding is actually part of or it ties into something called A Course in Miracles. And so I'm reading that for fun. And then all the holiday romance from Joan Peck, the series of holiday romance books, where I've voiced Santa Baby, and it's a whole series. So that's just some pure fun reading.
Well, thank you, Lee. We really appreciate you joining us today and spending this time.
My pleasure. It was so fun. I really enjoyed even if the prep was so much fun with the two of you. So
We
thank
did
you for
have a
the
good time.
opportunity.
Thank you. And so we will link to everything in the show notes, but just in case anyone listening wants to know, where can people find you if they want to engage in maybe having you at a conference or the mindfulness lounge at an event or even just personal coaching? You do all kinds of things and all kinds of work. So if anyone's interested, where can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, I think the easiest is just to email me at lee@leepapa.com. That's L-E-E at L-E-E-P-A-P-A.com. My website, leepapa.com, and I'm on social media, but not a whole lot. So the best way to get me is just via email.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Lee. Thanks, Mary Ellen, for
Thank you.
being hosting this with me as well. Thanks, Lee. We've had a great time with you today. We really appreciate it. We hope you've enjoyed this discussion with Lee Papa on the benefits of mindfulness and picked up some practical tips that you can put into place or walked away inspired to learn more. Please check out our show notes to find the links to the information that Lee shared with us. On behalf of the NCA On Location podcast, thank you for listening. And please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, or just share it with a friend. Thanks so much. We wish you an optimal day.
On Location is available on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts. We have a lot of great episodes on the way, so be sure to subscribe and listen to all of our previous episodes as well. We also appreciate your ratings, your feedback, your comments, and your suggestions. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, please reach out to us on the contact link on our website. On Location is a production of the NCIA Communications Committee with special production assistance from Joe Mamlin and me. Thanks again for joining me. I'm Tim Leitner, and this has been On Location.